Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg LeSeer, and the message today is titled, Will Jesus Repay Every Deed, Whether Good or Evil?
God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Last week, if you recall, we talked about the gospel, that we are justified before God by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from our deeds. This week I'd like to look with you at our good deeds, and especially having a fire of great zeal to do them. Do you have a great fire and zeal in you to do good? Well, you know, our zeal to go after good in life sometimes is brighter and sometimes dimmer. It goes up and down. So that we might refire our zeal to go after the good in this life and do good deeds, let's take a look today and see what God teaches us about this question. Does God reward your deeds, the good deeds you do for Him? Does He actually recompense a person according to what he does in life? Does He repay each person according to his deeds? You know, our answer to that question is going to be super important for our zeal. Because if you believe that God actually sees and rewards you for what you do, and you see the reward before you, you're going to run after that like an athlete's running for the gold. But if you lose sight of the reward and you don't think that there is any reward, well, you're going to be very small in your zeal for good deeds at best. Or at worst, you can fall into sloth and be lazy, or maybe even stray and go off into sin. So let's fire up our zeal again for good deeds today by looking at this question. Does God actually reward us according to what we do in this life? Is that something He's actually concerned with and repays? Is there a repayment by the Lord to each person on this earth for what He's done in this life? Let's take a look and see what God teaches us about that today by His scriptures, His holy word, the Bible. Okay, so what can we say about that? When I think about it, the first thing I think we can say is that many people, I'd say really most people in the world today, don't believe God's going to reward people according to their deeds. Wouldn't you say? If you look at most people in the world, they don't at least live as if God's watching them and is judging and is going to repay them according to what they do. They seem to have no thought for it. Consider little children, for example, that are on the playground. You know, they're cute, right? They play, they have fun, they have friends, but when they're on the playground, they're just as likely to bop each other onto the head or steal a toy from their little friend or to cheat or to lie. That comes very easy to little children, lying, even to their parents and to authorities. And so, you know, they're not living with the mindset, God sees everything I'm doing. He's not judging it, and He's not going to repay me. Frankly, it hardly ever comes to mind for little tiny children. Do they get better as they get older, though? You'd think, right? Well, as teenagers, they seem to have real no thought for God seeing or judging or repaying them, too. If you look at teenagers these days, a lot of them will text very vicious words. Oh, texting has opened up a whole barrage of vicious words to people, being very cruel towards one another. Or they'll use the Lord's name in vain, saying, oh my God, when they're not calling on God's name. And they'll break a lot of rules, as teenagers do. Teenagers break a lot of rules, don't they? So they really don't have a thought that God is carefully inspecting and scrutinizing everything and will reward them, good or evil, according to what they're doing. They don't think about it. They get better as they go to college, though, don't they? Don't they all clean up their act? You know, when people go to college, what happens on college campuses is, if you've been there, a lot of drinking, a lot of sleeping around, a lot of heavy partying. They're not giving a thought for God watching everything they're doing or judging or repaying them according to their deeds. It's not even in the same set of thoughts as their everyday life. But as adults, they get a lot better, don't they? Not really. Maybe some of their life kind of seems to clean up, but you know what? They're just as willing through life to gossip, to speak evil with their tongues of other people, to not forgive, to hold on to grudges, to hurt people with their words. And a lot of them don't have a zeal for good deeds and or to avoid evil. They're not thinking God is watching, recording it all in his books, and getting ready to repay them. And then as they get older, you know, old people are very nice, aren't they? When you retire and reach the golden years, don't you all start to go after good and lovely deeds of zeal at that point and avoid sin? Well, most people, no. It's like that rich guy. Remember in Luke chapter 12, remember him? He was older. He got retired and he said, look, I've got all these big barns. I have nowhere to store all this. Let's build larger ones. I'll retire. I'll enjoy the golden years. I'll sit back and eat and drink and be merry. What was God's judgment upon that man? You're a fool because you're being rich towards yourself and not rich towards me. You could have laid up great treasures in heaven, but look, through your sloth, you're bankrupt. You're a fool. And so he had no understanding that there was a just sentence coming upon him for his deeds that he'd done in his life. So I would say most people in the world, if you're not saved, of course, as a Christian, they have no thought for God looking and seeing everything or judging it. And especially, you could say, in our modern times, if you want to get political, think of the politicians, the world leaders, the billionaires. They really have no clear understanding that God's watching them because they're going after great wickedness in our days. They don't know that there's a bank account in heaven that is putting them into super debt very fast, and that they will have to repay the Lord one day for what they've done in their lives. So most people live no fear of the Lord, pretty much, right? Is this a new thing or is this an old thing? Is this recent phenomenon that people think this way? Well, take a look at the Bible here. David says in Psalm 10, this is in 1000 BC, so 2000 years ago, he's writing like this. He says that in the pride of his countenance, the wicked does not seek God. All his thoughts are, there is no God. His ways prosper at all times. Thy judgments are on high, out of his sight. And then he attacks the poor, it says. The hapless is crushed, sinks down, and falls by his might. And he thinks in his heart, God's forgotten. He's hidden his face. He'll never see it. Why? And then it says, he says in his heart, God will not call to account. There it is, 2,000 years ago, same as today. No thought that God sees it. No thought that God is judging it. No thought that God will repay a person for his deeds. How about you, though? Do you believe that, or do you believe something different? Well, lest we would be, like the world in these things and follow their ways, let's refresh ourselves now in the Word of God and see what God tells us in his book, the Bible, about whether he sees, and about whether he judges, and about whether he repays each person according to what he's done. Does he indeed reward and return a person's deeds? Think about that. Back upon his own head. Well, here's a couple examples. Look at Psalm 94. Does God see? Okay, that's the question. The wicked slay the widow and the sojourner and murder the fatherless. And they say, the Lord doesn't see. The God of Jacob does not perceive. What is God's reply to that? Verse 8, he says, understand, O dullest of the people. Fools, when will you be wise? He who planted the ear, does he not hear? And he who formed the eye, does he not see? Do you believe God sees today? Everything that you do? God is saying here, look, I created eyes. Obviously I see. If you don't think I see, you're the one who's blind. God sees actually 2010. No, better than 2010. What does he see? How much does God see, do you think? Psalm 33 says this, the Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men. He sees all the sons of men. From where he sits enthroned, he looks forth on all the inhabitants of the earth, he who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. Wow! How does that make you feel? God's looking down on your life and seeing everything from where he sits, everything that goes on in the earth. You might say, though, but how detailed is he? You know, when we look at the world, we kind of see the big, broad picture. Is that how God looks at brush strokes, big brush strokes, just what's done in the public eye. Or does God see into the secret places, into the dark details? How deep and detailed is his sight? Well, Jeremiah 23, God says this. Can a man hide himself? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? Where are you going to go, friends, to hide and do something in secret where God doesn't see you? In that secret place, wherever it is, in the dark, God's watching. His eyes are right there upon you at all times. So he sees in secret places and everything, every detail done on the earth. Wow. Now, does he see, is that where it ends? Just our secret deeds, friends? Well, the Bible says, even to, watch this, our secret thoughts. The inner sides of our soul, the depths of who we are, what we're thinking, what we're craving. Listen to this in Hebrews 4. It says, before him, no creature is hidden, but all are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Right? In other words, before God, in his sight, we are completely, utterly exposed. You've heard of that show, Naked and Afraid? Well, maybe it applies here. Maybe at least naked and exposed. Maybe a naked and afraid too, because frankly, God sees everything. Everything in our hearts, to our thoughts, to every detail of our lives. He even tells us in the Bible, he records them in books. Wow, how does that make you feel? Well, might that change your ways on earth if you ever kept that in mind, that God sees? Well, I think of an evangelist I saw on the YouTube one time, and he was giving his testimony. He said, in his younger days as a teenager, before he became a Christian, he loved to just sleep around. He had every girl he could find, and he had a whole lot of fun doing it, and he never thought anything of it, because after all, why not have some fun? Well, he says he went to a party one night, and he went out he found a girl that he liked and wanted to be with, and he led her out into the field, tall grass. And they laid down in the grass together and began to kiss. And as he began to make his moves on her, she says, no, stop. He says, why? She says, because God is watching. And he stopped, and he says, the trouble was for him at the time is that stopped him entirely. It plagued him. In other words, from then on, every party he went to, and he tried to pick up a girl and do the same thing, he'd get only so far and he'd hear, God is watching. And he'd be like, ah! And he could never move on ahead in his old ways. He said it ruined all his fun, but it also saved his soul. Because remember, it's by the fear of the Lord that men depart from evil. And so he turned away from the evil, and it led him ultimately to Jesus Christ to be saved in him. And then he had got married and had wonderful marital relations with his wife with the blessing of the Lord. But notice, it's when people don't think God is watching that their wickedness increases, because they think that what they can do shall never be seen, shall never be judged, shall never be repaid. And so after wickedness, they go with all their heart. So we need to keep this in mind, that God sees our ways, and also it inspires us to the good. For he promises to reward the good as well. Does God also judge? Now we talk about God seeing. Does he also reward a person according to what he sees? Does he repay a person for what he does in this life? Let's take a look at the Bible on that one. Open up in your minds to Psalm 11. This is David. He says, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the children of men. So when God sees everything that we do in life, is that because he's sitting up on his throne and he's bored? He has nothing else to do in heaven. He just wants to flip on the TV and see what's going on earth as a casual observer. No, it says here that the eyes of the Lord are testing what he sees, testing everything. Say the word testing. He's scanning the world. He's ranging the world. He is searching the world. He's looking for something. What is he looking for? The answer is he's looking for the right, righteousness, to reward it. 2 Chronicles 16, God says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show his might on behalf of those whose heart is blameless toward him. So he's, can you picture that? God's eyes just racing across the earth at all times, looking, where can I find righteousness to reward it? As he did David. Remember when David was being pursued by his enemies, King Saul, and David did what was right? God rescued and plucked him out. And David says, he rewarded me according to my righteousness. To the cleanness of my hands, he recompensed me. So he's looking for the right to reward it. He's also looking for what is wrong and evil to punish and avenge it. For the Lord tests the righteous and the wicked, we read, and his soul hates him that loves violence. On the wicked he will rain coals of fire and brimstone. A scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous, he loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold his face. Does God, after scan the world and range to and fro looking for what's wrong as well, for injustice, to deliver his avenging justice upon it? Well, Scripture says, yes, clearly. Why would God do such a thing? Because he is good. He is a righteous king, a just rewarder of a person's deeds. It's because God's righteous and just that he does this. Why then don't we see people being, well, to put it one way, slammed right and left? Because after all, the world's going after evil. Why don't we see people judged continually and all the time? Well, the answer is because God is not only just, he's also very kind. He does not want to smite anybody. He wants to save if he can. So he gives people time to repent. He'll even delay bringing a deed back upon someone for years, even decades, in hope that they might repent. But the Bible continues and says, if a man doesn't repent, God will sharpen his sword. He has bent and strung his bow, prepared his deadly weapons, making his arrows fiery shafts. And it says, on the wicked, he will rain coals of fire and brimstone. And it says, the wicked man makes a pit, digging it out, and then he falls into the hole which he has made. His mischief returns upon his own head, and on his own head his violence descends. So what's God do? Okay, here's our deeds, be they good or evil. It's a boomerang, right? You ever see a boomerang? You ever use a boomerang? Australia? Gee, Dan under? You ever been Dan under? Well, they take the boomerang, and they throw it at you into the dark, right? And it, they think it's gone. It's disappeared into the night sky. Well, sometime later, sooner or later, what happens? Comes back and hits you in the head. Either if it's a sin to wound or kill you, if it's a righteous deed to bless you abundantly. So God brings back a person's deeds upon his own head. And most especially, we know, if a person does evil, as we read here, that mischief will return back upon his own head like a boomerang. Like a boomerang, mate. Okay, so how does that make you feel? Can you think back with your own eyes and scan and range through your own life and say, what was my life like? Perfect and righteous and wonderful at all times? Oh, no. We can all look back, if we're honest, and with those spectacles see all kinds of sins, horrible things we've done, right? We've all fallen short of God's glory, broken his laws, and man, some of the things that we've done, we'd be horrendously ashamed if they were broadcast publicly up here on a screen for all the congregation to see. You wouldn't want that, would you? But God sees it all. So what is the good news that we celebrate with our Lord Jesus Christ? Think of it. What are some of the sins that you've done that you wouldn't want anybody to see, that were done in the dark, that are maybe cravings in your heart, that you'd be afraid and ashamed to have exposed and shown before the eyes of all? Well, God says, I see all of them. At the same time, I want you to know, I love you. I want to wash all of those away. I've got them written right here in my books. Everything you've ever done. I'm willing to take a big eraser and wipe them out. And I'll do it in the blood of the Lamb. This is what our Lord Jesus Christ came to do for us. Is to take all of those wickednesses that we've done, that we're ashamed of, naked and afraid, naked and exposed. Oh no. Especially when I go to stand before God for judgment on the last day and he sees all of these things written in the books all over me, those stains. He says, look, come to me now. I'm good. I'm righteous. I won't look on you in anger. I will Wipe them all out. Wash them. I'll take the precious blood of Christ and we'll just erase them. And I won't hold them to your account anymore. Have you come to Jesus Christ, friends, to be saved? The promise is, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Come to me, Jesus says. I won't turn you away. I never turn away those who come to me. Come to me and be saved and find refreshment for your souls. Amen? Amen. So, we have a great God who has stepped in the way of the boomerang, okay? We had it. We threw it out, all of our evil deeds, done in ignorance or not. Out they went. Out they came, heading right for our skull. And Jesus says, wait. And he jumps in the way of the boomerang and it hits him on the head, if you will, on that cross. Justice has been paid. Now you believing on him, I won't count these things against you. I will forgive you your sins, says the Lord. So, come to Jesus Christ and be saved, and the deeds have returned upon his head, not yours. Is that the end of the story, though? We are saved, friends, by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. For we read in Ephesians 2, by grace you've been saved. Undeserved favor. You've been saved through Jesus Christ, through faith. This isn't your own doing. It's the free gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast. But is that all? He also says, now that you're saved, I want you to run after good deeds with zeal, because I'm going to reward them. You are my workmanship. I created you in Christ Jesus for good works, which I've even prepared ahead of time, since you should just walk in them. What a good king he is, amen? I'm not only going to save you from your sins and wash them away, I'm going to make you a new creation. Then I'm going to say, walk with me. Go after good deeds. And you don't even have to come up with them. Walk with me, I'll set them up for you. You walk into those, I'll do them inside of you, through you, and I'll reward you for what I do inside of you, in your life, to other people. What a good God he is. And so he wants us to run after good deeds, because our deeds will also return upon our heads. The righteous deeds you do as a Christian have a reward. Can you say the word reward? Salvation's a free gift, but you can be rewarded for what you do in this life as well, and lay up treasures, as Jesus says, for yourself in heaven, where, frankly, up there, it's great. Nobody's going to steal it. There's no thieves. There's no moth to get rid of it up there. There's no rust that consumes your silver and gold. If you do good here, you lay up silver and gold there, being rich toward God, you've invested well in this life, and it shall be given you at the return of the king, on the last day when Jesus comes. Every righteous deed done out of faith in God and love for your neighbor, I will reward you. If you even give a cup of cold water, Jesus says, to someone who bears the name of a disciple, you will by no means lose your reward, says the king. That's Jesus. So we should live in the light, then, of the reward. Now, we do good deeds first out of love for God. Amen? Secondly, out of our love for our neighbor, because he needs help and we love to help. But God also holds out that reward for us to inspire your zeal. And he does reward exactly. Judge not and you'll not be judged. Condemn not and you'll not be condemned. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over will be put into your lap. For, watch this, it says, the measure you give will be the measure you get back. So sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly, okay? So bountifully, put a lot of seeds out there, you're going to get a huge crop when the Lord returns. That's zeal. There is a reward before you, friends. Also, we should remember still God's warnings. I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will render account for every careless word they utter. Uh-oh, right? So repent, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words will be condemned. So let's watch after our words, but let's go after the good deeds. Jesus says, when you give a party, you know, you have a feast, don't invite your friends and rich neighbors, etc., lest they invite you in return and they repay you. But instead, when you give a big feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. You'll be blessed because they can't repay you. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. In other words, if they can't repay you, Jesus says, I'm the king. I will take it as my duty and responsibility to pay you for that deed, and I'll pay you abundantly. Notice what Paul says. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, you know, at the end of time, so that each one may receive good or evil according to what he's done in the body. And Jesus says, behold, I'm coming soon, bringing my recompense to repay everyone for what he's done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. So how should we view ourselves if we want to be refired for good deeds today? Well, picture yourself like an athlete in the Olympics. And you go into this huge stadium, but there's nobody there. It's completely barren and empty. It's just like crickets, okay? Would you run your best race, Vivian, if there was nobody there? Nobody's watching you. Well, you would. Okay. Kevin is a much better example. Kevin would just sit there and chew bubble gum because nobody's watching. Why should I run? There's no excitement, electric crowds. There's no king to watch. There's no judgment. There's no reward. There's no award at the end of an empty stadium. But if you picture yourself entering into the arena, and the stadium, as you enter in, starts chanting and crying with thunderous cheers for your success. The band plays its trumpets. And you see, there's the king sitting in his seat in the box, in his throne, right there to watch you run your race. And before you, you see there's the reward, the great wreath, the imperishable one, the prize at the end. The runners line up, the gun goes off, and you light off to run your best race at your best time. Because you know you're seen, you know you're judged, and you know there's a reward at the end. Well, see yourselves this way, friends, and go for the real gold, Jesus says, the gold of my repayment and my kingdom. And let's remember this, that Jesus ran this race too. He, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising its shame. And what's his reward? He's now sitting down at the right hand of God, and you and have a kingdom purchased for you and won through his victory. And so, friends, let's remember that we're seen, that there is a scrutinizing eye that loves you and encourages you to run, and that he wants to say to you at the end, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little. See, I set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. I award you even with a crown. Go for the gold, for your labor is not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15, Galatians 6, in due season you shall reap if you don't lose heart. So keep up your heart, Christians. Keep up your heart and run. Run for the gold, for a great reward is before you. And forget what lies behind and strain forward to what lies ahead. Press on to the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called, Will Jesus Repay Every Deed, Whether Good or Evil? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the old Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.